And this time on Culture File, songs in the Irish mode, and one song in particular, the Wexford Carol, an uncanny sonic apparatus that's carried the gnaw across the globe, and in the process snared performers from Julie Andrews to Yo-Yo Ma, and even a few Irish musicians. For many fiddlers, including Culture File's Áine Gallagher, it was an early tune that never really lost its spell. But just what is the secret of its starry power? Áine has been on a dig with her bow.
I usually play it in G.
It kind of comes from an unusual kind of Wexford carol tradition, which along with the Kilmore carols, and the melodies are kind of in this old Irish modal style. It's not in a classical kind of D major scale or D minor or G major, G minor scale. They're using the modes. If you analyse this from a music theory perspective, a composer perspective, it's like the tune combines different modes. And I like to call this the Irish mode.
Cool. So I am happy to follow you, follow your lead.
I was going to say the same for you.
You're trying to copy the sound that a singer would make. You're trying to get some strange ornamentation that only really the voice would do. And you're doing it on a string. So it's kind of, it's a different way of approaching it. It's not so much about the fiddle as an instrument, but it's about the music and how you can, you know, you can achieve these singer-like quality in the music as well. So my name is Ultan O'Brien, a fiddle player from Clare, brought up playing traditional music as well, on the fiddle and the viola, funnily enough, and snuck my way into classical for a while, and I snuck back out. You play with a couple of different groups up here in Dublin too, like Slow Moving Clouds and Skipper's Alley. And it's all fiddly-based traditional music.
It really suits playing it on the fiddle, I think, in that when you play it in G major, let's say, you can really use all the lower strings. Yes. And you don't actually have to be too precise with what note you go for. A lot of the drones underneath work.
Yeah, and you have that lovely interval too that comes up. You know, that's happened there. That comes up, I mean, quite a lot in traditional music in general. And, I mean, folk music across the world. I think it's funny just the interval alone. But when you hear that sung at that minor seventh, it's a very powerful interval, isn't it?
So this piece is quite interesting because it has touches, I suppose, of modality, in that it begins with an opening with a raised seventh, so just as you would expect your dominant to your tonic, 5-1, and then the raised seventh after that. In this case, in the copy that I'm looking at, it's in G, so the F sharp would be the raised seventh. But later on, at the end of that first phrase, there's an F natural, which would suggest a touch of a Mixolydian mode to it, although it's not strictly Mixolydian mode at all. By the third phrase, there's a flattened third, so in this case, it's a B flat. Kind of, when you look at it, it could be considered almost Dorian, but again, not entirely. My name is Lindsay Callahan, and I'm a member of the musicianship faculty in the Royal Irish Academy of Music. I suppose the flattened third is very interesting. It almost takes us into a new key space, and everyone will interpret it differently. But for me, it has that kind of that pulling minor feel to it. The fact that, you know, Christmas is rejoicing and it's happy, but also there's more to come. You know, we know what's going to happen later in the life of the child that is born at Christmas. And so I think that this piece reflects the whole trajectory of the story, even though it's telling the celebratory part of the Christmas story.
The tune that we just played, the Wexford Carol, I have always thought that it can be played in such an authentic manner and in a similar way to how slow airs are played. When you really pull out some of the notes, make them longer and put in these kind of more traditional folk inflections.
Yeah, it is interesting too, because you might have learned a lot of those techniques from singers originally. And even from other fiddle players who learnt them from singers, but that's probably the origin of them. And then, so for the Wexford Carol, you're not copying one particular singer, but you're just bringing that same style into the playing. And it does really suit that melody. It's a really nice one.
I would teach using this piece, as I said, and I find that the B phrase, that third phrase down, is so interesting, it's so different, it has a leap of a seventh at the beginning that actually it falls on the ear quite quickly. Although that B phrase being almost in a different key space is quite unusual for a folk song, I absolutely love it.
The fiddle and the voice. I mean, it's kind of similar. These can be your vocal cords here, it's just you can't see them. But you have all the notes in between. There's no set scale either. And you have so much dynamics as well with the bow. And the thing is, you can be doing all sorts of ornaments as well. But then you can also get the drones going, like you said, with that low G. So I think it's a really good instrument for airs. It's not just about a pretty melody or a nice melody. You can really tell a story with fiddle playing, I think, when you bring all those elements together. But with the singers, it's mainly about the phrasing and the ornamentation that you can learn from them. I think that's why technique isn't really set either for fiddlers, because you're trying to copy the sound that a singer would make.
What would be an example of a, let's say, a musical inflection on the fiddle that you would hear a singer do?
Certain ornaments, but actually, there's usually little inflections, like somewhere between, somewhere around here, these notes. It's a great thing about having a fretless instrument too, that you find these in between notes and you can hear them very strong in certain people's voices. And the phrasing too, obviously that's to do with the words as well, which is something I find interesting in slow air playing, because most of the slow airs come from songs, so they're telling stories.
Good people all this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind.
So I know this song in two different languages. I know it both in Irish and in English, and beautiful in both languages, and the English version I would be more familiar with. But it is strophic in that every verse, although the words are different, the melody is repeated. And so in that way, it's also very easy to learn, easy to translate between the two languages. You can move from one language to the next.
Which language suits the melody more, or which seems to take to it more naturally?
I think it's beautiful in both languages, actually. I think the setting of the text in English is actually very good. The natural stresses of the text fall on the what we would feel is the downbeat of the bar. And actually the same is in Irish. So I think singing it in either language is brilliant. And actually interpolating maybe one language with a verse from the other language can be very beautiful as well.
Like the sounds of the text in the first, even in the opening line, good people all this Christmas time, it's like, it's all these very quite hard syllables at the start of the words, and they're on the downbeats, I guess, are they?
Yeah. But even, for example, consider, and it's the middle syllable that would be naturally accented when we say consider. We don't say consider. That's quite beautiful there in that it's just, it's set as we would say it.
You have that kind of structure, and it kind of gives an ambiguity, and it's a real trait of this kind of style of Irish traditional melody, and it's really beautiful.
Do you remember when you first learned it or when you first played it?
Yeah, it was very, I think I was 8 years old. It was in school, it was with fiddle player Dennis Liddy, who was also my school teacher at the time. I remember just that melody sticking out.
Some, not all, of the secrets of the Wexford Carol there. Áine Gallagher was the reporter and indeed the fiddler.